Well, hey, good morning, and glad you can be with us today. And today we have the privilege of having Bob Blahnik with us. Bob is a retired pastor, or just a tired pastor, a little bit of both, retired. It's a good joke. Yeah. But Bob served for a number of years in the Great Lakes District, really as a pastor to me, and really grateful for his influence on my life. And his wife Jean is with him today as well. And really excited about that. But Bob's been here with E-Shift over the weekend, and Bob, we're excited to hear God's word through you.
Okay, good. So, thanks.
Glad to be here. Would you welcome him?
Oh, thanks. Hey, it's good to be back. This is our fifth of six times we've come. Our national director, Bruce, is with us this morning, and his wife, Trudy. And we're leading these seminars with about 40, 50 of your people. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about this next year. You're going to have opportunities next year to join a small group kind of study that will teach you what we've been learning this year, and we're just excited about how God's going to use that in your church to continue to reach your community for Christ. Father, we come to you this morning to look into your word. Every one of us this morning looked in a mirror, hopefully, and we made changes, and your word tells us that when we look into the mirror, we shouldn't just walk away. And your word is like a mirror. It shows us things in our lives that we need to change, and it shows us how to better our life. So, Lord, as we look into the mirror of your word this morning, may I step aside. May my words be your words, and may we learn what it's like to live this Christian life and run the race in a way that honors you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not a runner. Never been a runner. Don't like to run. I did run a couple of 10Ks in my 30s, and when I was in the Army, I ran a lot. But I've never liked running. I'll do an elliptical machine three times a week, 45 minutes, and I'll ride my bike. I just don't have the body size for running, and I don't understand people who love to run. So I'm sorry if you love to run. Jean and I are in a small group of couples at our church for about 20 years, and we've watched our kids grow up. And one of the couples in our church has a son named Matt, and that is Matt there on the screen. 3 weeks ago, Matt is he's an ultra-marathon runner. He lives up out in the East Coast. And he went to Tucson, Arizona, and ran in the desert and the mountains for 309 miles. Say what? Who in their right mind would, about 250 runners, ran this race 309 miles? 146 hours, 6 days. That's his little girl, Cece, crossing the finish line with him. He made it in time to get a medal. That would be like you and I putting on our running shoes, walking out the door, and running to Chicago, up to Milwaukee, and almost to Green Bay, or maybe going southwest to St. Louis, or up to the Mackinac Bridge, just for fun. And this isn't just running. He's running trail running on mountains and in the desert. I don't get it, but he did that. How in the world can someone do that? And I asked his dad, first of all, why does he do it? And then how does he do it? He said, well, he always says he just puts one foot in front of the other. He doesn't, and I had the privilege one time when we used to work out in Colorado climbing Pikes Peak, and you just can't look up. You have to just look in front of you. You put one step in front of the other. And that's what we need to do as Christians, as Christ ones. And so this whole topic of a race is really a theme that Paul uses a lot in the Bible. And we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3 today. If you look in the black Bible in the pew in front of you, it's on page 992. But then I notice there's a whole bunch of white and blue Bibles in front of you. I have no idea what page it's on in those, sorry. But if you want to turn to Philippians 3 in your own Bible, we're going to be looking at verses 12, 4 to 1 through 1 today. The letter to the Philippians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's the book of joy. Count it all joy, he says. And in verse 1 of our passage, chapter 3, he says, rejoice always, rejoice in the Lord, no matter what your difficulties are. In verses 7 to 11, he shares the secret to the ability to find joy in all things, because he says he considers everything in life a loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Now, just last week, you gathered here and you celebrated the power of the resurrection. Sadly, I believe as Christians too often we celebrate that on Easter and we forget that that same resurrection power is available to us every day, every moment, to get us through our race in life. So we're going to look at the race today in verses 12 to 41. He uses a metaphor here of a runner racing a race and how we need to learn these things so that we can run our race for Christ. And the first thing he looks at is the runner's techniques. There's specific techniques that he points out for us to learn in verses 12 to 16. First, he says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul's saying here, I haven't reached it yet. I haven't gotten to the finish line yet. This is a time in Paul's life about 25, 30 years after he accepted Christ on the Damascus Road. He's still running, and he's saying, I haven't reached it yet. And that word perfect, I would rather use the word mature. It's not perfection. In our race, God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for progression. Let me say that again. God isn't looking for perfection in your life of doing everything perfectly, but he is looking for progression, you to become more and more like Christ. In fact, I would say God is more interested in who you are becoming than what you are doing. God is more interested in you becoming more like Jesus in your race every day than what you are doing for him. He's not already perfect, but he presses on, and that's an athletic term. It means to lean forward for the finish line. He presses on. He doesn't slow down. He just keeps going and going and going in verse 12. In verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. I haven't done this all on my own. But one thing I do, and boy, when you hear that in Scripture, the one thing our ears should pick up, okay, this is important, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what's ahead. You cannot run your race. You cannot drive a car by looking only in the rearview mirror. You'll bump into things. You've got to put the past behind you. No, that's hard. It doesn't mean obliterating the memories of your past. It's impossible to do that. But it means you make a conscious refusal to let them slow you down in your race, to take your energy away. You and I are a product of our past, the home we were raised in, the decisions we've made. In fact, where you are in life today is a result of the choices you have made up to this point. And where you will be in 10 years will depend on the choices you make from here to there. And so we need to learn from our past, but too many believers live in the past. We can't get out of the past. And the past drags us down like extra weights on our run, like a backpack with rocks in it. We got to throw that off. We can learn from our past, but not to live in our past. And the opposite is strain forward. This word means to stretch out and reach for something. The finish line. We're always straining forward, not looking back. Paul could handle his present struggles by forgetting the past and putting everything he had into what lay ahead. And he kind of summarizes here in verse 14, I press on. toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what keeps me going. I'm pressing on to that goal that's going to come when I see Jesus face to face. In the Greek games back then, the winner would ascend a large stairway up to the winner's circle, much like we do at the Olympics. They put a wreath on his head and give him a cash prize. That's what Paul's talking about. He's looking forward to the day that he's going to ascend that stairway to heaven and see Jesus face to face, and he's straining towards that. He's not letting the past hold him back. He's straining to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In verses 15 and 16, he said, "Let those of us who are mature," there's that word again, the progression, "those of us who are mature think this way." This is the way we're supposed to think. And if in anything we think otherwise, God will reveal that also to us. So God, if we're thinking wrongly, God will help us with that. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let us hold true to it and keep going. Let's keep running. So in these verses 12 to 16, I see three techniques. Number one, never quit running. Never quit running. Yeah, it's okay. We got to sit down and take a rest sometime. But the rest is to rejuvenate us, keep going. But don't stop running in the race. Don't give up. We need to run no matter how slowly we run. Sometimes, I mean, when I ran those 10Ks, I had to walk some of it. But then you don't stop moving, you keep going, then you start running again. You keep moving forward. I've already mentioned this, don't look back. You can't really run forward if you're looking backwards. You're going to bump into things, you're going to fall. So get your eyes off what's behind you and look forward. And third, run your own race. You can't run someone else's race. You shouldn't try to run someone else's race. God has given you your race. He's not comparing. Paul didn't compare himself to other runners. He compared himself to Christ and himself and how he could become more like Christ. Too often, other runners look at other runners. And too often, let's admit this as believers, too often we sit in the stands and criticize the people on the track on how they're running. You could do that better. You know, you could lift your legs higher. You could pump your arms. I mean, we're very good at criticizing other people in their race. But we need to look in the mirror at our race and how we're running. To be good runners, we need to concentrate on our own race and keep our eyes on the finish line. Paul knew that this life was a race, and it was a difficult race. But with these techniques, he learned how to keep going when the going got tough. But he also knew that he would be tempted to slow down and stop. And that's the next thing I want to look at, are the runner's temptations. What are the temptations that are going to face us as we're running our race? Verses 17 to 19. Well, Paul sets up a contrast for them. He says, "Brothers, join in imitating me." So imitate me and keep your eye on those who walk according to the example. So watch us, follow our example, because you're going to be tempted, for many of whom I have often told you, who are now even with you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. When we run our race, there's other people out there, as enemies of the cross, trying to pull you off course. They're probably throwing potholes in front of you, hurdles in front of you. They're going to try their best. The enemy's going to try and pull you off of your race. And he kind of lists, and he even says that with tears. He's kind of, and he kind of shows their end is destruction. These people are running towards destruction. Don't join that race. Protect yourself. Their God is their belly. They're sensualists. They look to the world, you know, gluttony, pride, money, sex, morality, all the stuff that is out there, all those temptations are out there facing you every day in your race to say, "Hey, just slow down. Take a break. Come on over here. You know, come on over here and imbibe with us over here. Why are you running so hard?" There's all kinds of temptations like that to pull us off. And their glory is their shame. They glory in themselves. Pride is everywhere you look today. Their glory is their shame. And their minds are set on earthly things. That's once you start putting your eyes on the earthly things and not on the finish line, that's going to tempt you to pull off from the race and slow down. So he warns them in their race that they're going to have temptations along the way. But he doesn't stop there, because now he turns positive and he comes to the end and he talks about the runner's trophies. He said, if you stay in the race, there are trophies that you will win when you stay in the race. And he starts it out in verse 20 with a very important word, but. You don't have to be like that. You don't have to be like those people. You can be different, because our citizenship is in heaven. See, the people he was writing to would understand this better than I do. I'm an American citizen, but I'm living in America. They were Roman citizens living in Philippi. Their citizenship was in Rome, but they were living in another place. Well, that's you and I. We are really citizens of heaven. That's our trophy. We are citizens of heaven. We forget that at times. We think this is the only part of our life. But our race is leading us to that day that we will get. We've already got our passport, if we know Jesus Christ, but we're going to be allowed to enter into that heaven. And from it, we will await a Savior. We'll find our Lord and Savior there. That's a trophy, to see Him face to face. In verse 21, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. You know, I'm getting old. Every time I stand up, I groan. You know, I had to sit down between services back there to kind of, you know, my back's tightening up. You know, our bodies fail us. But someday we're going to have a glorious body transformed. And so that's a trophy for us to look to, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. I love what a California pastor, Rick Warren, once said. He said, this life is simply preparation for eternity. I love that. This life is not our real reality. We're foreigners in a foreign land. We're aliens. We're going to spend eternity as a citizen of heaven with new bodies. That should keep us running. That hope, that grace, that promise should keep us going in our race. And then he finishes up in 4:1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord. And that's the same wording that Moses used at the Red Sea when all the chariots are coming. He said, stand firm and see the power of God as He split the Red Sea. We need to stand firm on these promises of God and trust Him. Why was Paul able to run the race? In the midst of the race, when he was tired, when he was tempted to give up, he kept going, he pressed on. And do you know what kept him going? The thought of crossing the finish line, of reaching the summit, of climbing that stairway, finishing his race, seeing Jesus face to face, hearing Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The big idea of this passage is run with your eyes on the finish line. Keep your eyes on the finish line. No matter what hurdles, no matter what potholes, no matter how sore your knees are, keep running. Get some good shoes and keep running. So how do we apply this? Well, just some reminders. First of all, let me ask this question. Are you even in the race? Have you turned your life and heart over to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you moved it from your head to your heart? It took me 27 years of my life to do that. I'd heard the gospel many times, but never responded to it. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you come to church. Maybe you're a guest, and do you know Jesus? Have you asked Him in your heart? Are you born again? Do you have your running shoes on? Are you even in the race? And that's what we're doing with each shift. We're looking out in our community and seeing people who aren't in the race, and how can we get them in the race? If you're here today and you haven't responded to the gospel, I will talk to you afterwards. There'll be people up front that will talk to you afterwards that will share with you how you can get your running shoes on and start running the race with Jesus. Don't look back. Put your past behind you. Press on. Don't stop. Keep straining. Keep going. Don't give in to the earthly temptations that are going to try and pull you off the race course, try to distract you. There's so many things out there media-wise now that distract us every day. I can tell you right now, confess to you, I spend way too much time on my phone. It goes with me everywhere I go. I mean, I grew up with Dick Tracy having phones on your wrist, and here we have them. It's amazing, and that can distract us. We need to put some of that aside and spend some more time running with Jesus. Remember where your citizenship is. Remember who you really are. You're a foreigner in an alien land, and you're on your way to your homeland. And remember the trophies you're going to get when you get there. Keep your eyes on the finish line. If you follow, do you feel like giving up? Some of you I know are here today. I know some of you are here today and you're hurting. God hasn't answered your prayers. You wonder where he is. You're trying to run and you're just getting tired. And the enemy is saying, see, I told you, he's not there for you. Give up. Just give up. Don't believe those lies. Stay in the race. Keep training. Keep running forward. Follow Paul's advice and look to the finish line. I want to read to you a poem that I found years ago. It's called The Race. It's by D. Groberg. I don't really know if that's a man or a woman, D. Groberg. And it's kind of long, so just stay with me as I read this, and I'll come back and close this. It's called The Race. Quit, give up, you're beaten, they shout and plead. There's just too much against you now. This time you can't succeed. And as I start to hang my head and front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. And hope refills my weakened will as I recall that scene, for just the thought of that short race rejuvenates my being. A children's race, young boys, young men, now I remember it well. Excitement, sure, but also fear, it wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope, each thought to win that race or tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. As fathers watched from off the side, each cheering for his son, and each boy hoped to show his dad that he would be the one. The whistle blew and off they went, young hearts and hopes of fire. To win, to be the hero there, was each young boy's desire. And one boy in particular, his dad was in the crowd, was running near the lead and thought, my dad will be so proud. But as he speeded down the field across a shallow dip, the little boy who thought to win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his hands flew out to brace, and mid the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. So down he fell, and with hope he couldn't win it now. Embarrassed, sad, he only wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, get up and win that race. He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, that's all, and with all his mind and might to make up for his fall, so anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win, his mind went faster than his little legs. He slipped and fell again. He wished that he had quit before, with only one disgrace. I'm hopeless as a runner now. I shouldn't even try to race. But in the laughing crowd, he searched and found his father's face, that steady look that said again, get up and win the race. So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. If I'm to gain those yards, he thought, I've got to run real fast. Exceeding everything he had, he regained 8 or 10, but trying so hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeat. He lay there silently, a teardrop from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. Three strikes, I'm out. Why even try? The will to rise has disappeared. All hope has fled away. So far behind, so error-prone, loser all the way. I've lost, so what's the use, he thought. I'll live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. Get up. An echo sounded low. Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. Get up and win the race. You haven't lost it all. For winning's not more than this, to rise each time you fall. So up he rose to win once more, and with a new commit, he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most he'd ever been, still he gave it all he had and ran as though to win. They cheered the winning runner as he crossed first place, head high, proud and happy, no failing, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line last place, the crowd gave him the greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last, with head bowed low, unproud, you would have thought he won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad, he sadly said, I didn't do so well. To me, you won, the father said. You rose each time you fell. And now, when things seem dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my own race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do to win the race is rise each time you fall. During his 309-mile race, Matt literally lost his way a couple times. You could watch him online, and you could see the line go off, and he ran about 10 miles extra that he should have, and he had to make his way back. He missed the marker on the path. A couple times, my friend Steve said he fell, gashed open his knees, scraped his knees, and he had to visit the various aid stations to get bandaged up to keep going. They followed him in the van, and he slept in the van. They gave him food to eat. What kept him going? Well, many things kept him going, but one thing was his dad was there, Steve. Steve drove and took care of him, watched him, and Steve even ran an 18-mile leg with his son towards the end to keep him going. Because like in that poem, his father was there encouraging and cheering him on. We must never forget that during our life race that our Heavenly Father knows exactly where we are, what we are going through, and the temptations we face to quit the race. We must continually put one foot in front of the other with the help of His resurrection power and keep our eyes on the finish line. And when we cross that finish line, we will fall into the arms of our risen Savior and receive the trophies promised to us. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Father, thanks for our time in your word this morning. Thanks for Paul and the Philippian church that he wrote to. How he encouraged them to be joyful in their running. Lord, this race is hard. Sometimes we wonder if you're even there. We lose directions, we get off course, we slip and fall. The enemy says, give up. Lord, may we apply the words of the Apostle Paul to our lives today. May we follow the runner's techniques, stay away from the runner's temptations, and run for the runner's trophies. Can't wait to cross the finish line and fall into your arms, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.